dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. Over the fields we go.
Welcome to Behind the Beer WNC. I guess it's the Christmas version. It is September still, right? Or did I go to sleep and sleep till Christmas?
Well, one of our, I heard somebody say, one of our loyal listeners, we're declaring today Lewis Christmas.
National holiday.
Oh, great.
Our guy Lewis.
Yeah, you know.
On September 23rd.
Owen wins.
Yes.
And the Rockets give up 70. It's Lewis Christmas.
It's the only way we can celebrate.
Indeed. That's hilarious.
What do you have to say? He didn't show up today.
That's right. Lewis is not here for his own celebration,
it
would appear.
He's not here for Lewis Christmas.
No.
No.
No. He's in a place, probably, I don't know if he's, I don't know if I can feel too bad for him. Lewis is on vacation at the Outer Banks. Yes. So
he took his luxury yacht out, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Look at Pat trying to reverse it onto somebody.
Yes.
I love it.
I have to.
Yes. So Lewis is not with us today, but we had to bring some sort of the positive energy and celebrate for
him. When one of our listeners said, it's Lewis Christmas, he's told me this Friday night, I'm like, I think you're right.
Oh, jeez. Well, anyway, this is Behind the Beer WNC Lewis edition. This is a podcast where we get together and banter about a lot of things. A lot of times it's high school sports, and we hope you're entertained, but obviously there's other choices out there if you're not entertained. So anyway, welcome to the show. Today you get Carson Jones, Mike Anderson, and myself, Pat Pohl. We tried to patch Lewis in on the phone, but technology is not my forte, and I was not able to make that happen. So,
Lewis, technology guy.
Yeah, Lewis is actually the brains behind the whole thing. So,
although I feel like I let us down because I'm the youngest, so I should be
really
with it. And I'm looking at the board that we use, and it looks like a Christmas tree.
It does, and you know what? I'm the one fooling with it, and I can't even create or open up an Instagram account, and I'm the one in charge of this technology. So
that's awesome.
Oh man,
that's awesome.
I actually used to look for jobs in an actual newspaper.
I've been there too, Pat. I used to get the Awana to buy stuff.
Yeah,
you weren't around this area, but
I do. I remember that.
You remember the Awana?
I do. I do remember that. It took me like it was well after they were gone to figure out that it was Awana. Like I want a.
Yeah, I want it.
Yeah, it's great. Great.
Yeah. So now we're here in technology, and hopefully the wheels will stay on the bus here, but no promises. There you go. So, hey, it was a great week again of exciting high school football action for sure. Good football action in general.
It seems like college football is very similar. High school football is going to do this to us as well. Right when we think you're going into a week and you're like, and we talk about it often, there's going to be – we kind of have a feeling for how things are going to go. Some things may not go that way.
Man, I tell you what. Every time I think I've got something figured out, no.
Yeah.
No.
No.
No, my whole record's a tire fire.
And here's my opinion of what's going on this year. Everybody's even.
Yes.
There's no teams that are way far and away better than everybody else. Right now, you might say Brevard. They're undefeated.
Yeah.
They're winning their game. They've already beat the MAC, so now they've moved on to their conference. But in our area right here, I mean, everybody else is about the same. Look at my Heritage. They lost to Swain.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at, Reynolds. Yeah. They've got a couple. Everybody in the MAC has a couple losses.
Yeah. Well, and generally, in years past, there was teams that were just so far in the past, so far, away from other teams, talent level, numbers-wise, all of the above, to where they could have off nights and, they would still figure out a way. You would never, by looking at just the box score, you didn't know unless you saw the games or, heard about, we had them. It was a close game in the first half, and then they usually all pull around. But any given, what is the saying? It's like any given Sunday. Well, now it's any given Friday.
Saturday and Sunday.
And Saturday, yeah. Sunday, Monday. I mean, there's.
I was going to say, this is kind of playing out at the college level some, too. I mean, your dynasty programs are not necessarily as dynastic as.
Well, there's a couple of things, and it's the movement of players. It's high school and college. It's the movement of players.
Right.
And it's, now that the other leagues are able to pay their players, they're catching up with the SEC.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, then also, I mean, I don't know who else was looking forward to it, but not to beat up on Clemson, but I think everybody, I know all of my friends were like, what's Dabo going to say after this game? Because, you know, he went viral the game before. It's like, you know,
if they're tired of winning,
get rid of me, move on. And then next thing you know, Syracuse comes out. And I mean, what a way to start the game.
Indeed.
Yeah. You drive down for a touchdown and then catch everybody off guard with an onside kick.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a coach that wants to win.
Did you see the freshman linebacker for Clemson from Raven Gap dominating on Saturday?
Wow.
This guy played high school football last year.
Yeah.
So.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, but my understanding, obviously Dabo's had a very great career at Clemson, obviously great program, but did I read or hear this right, that he's not on board with the whole NIL thing? He's still doing it the old way where you're developing players and that kind of thing?
Well, he was very reluctant. He was completely against it, did not want to use the portal, went several years not bringing any players. I think the big issue now with Clemson fans is what I'm hearing is that it's catching up to him. And then this was the year that was supposed to be, they've had the quarterback with the same, they went out and paid for the OC. I think it was at TCU, Garrett Riley. I think that's his name. And they went out and paid him. So they've had multiple years with a quarterback that was a Heisman favorite. They've got four projected first round picks. And this was kind of like, this is their older team. This is kind of what they did all that for. He was like, hey, we're going to stick with our ways. And then next thing you know, it's not going great this year.
While you may stick with your ways, your players are still, they're leaving.
Correct.
All programs have players who leave.
Yes.
So I think it really hurts with the depth. And I know that it's like same thing with, you know, with Georgia. And it's not just Clemson that's been affected with it, where, you know, we're going into a college football season where we had 5 to 8 years where there was 3 or 4 teams that could possibly play in the national championship game. Now there's, I mean, what is there, 12 teams? It's like there's 12 teams everybody was, Texas was the favorite going into this year. And now it's like, is Arch Manning hurt? Is what's going on there? And so there's just a lot of it just makes Saturdays so much more fun.
Indeed. I like, you know, it's good. It makes it fun. Exciting.
Yeah, it does.
Now, obviously, bad news in the college world, too, you know, with the Sean Clark passing. That was awful. Kind of a thing. And he's got history around this area, too. He was at App State for a little while, wasn't he?
Yeah. He played at App State.
Yes.
And was the head coach at App State. I believe he's a real good friend of Coach Laws at Reynolds.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, I think he was, well, just by seeing all the coaches and former players. I know Reynolds coach Chandler Greer had a post that, I mean, it was even hard for me to scroll through, and it was just how close they must have been being offensive linemen at App. It's super, super, super tragic and very, very unfortunate. And I know that he was very well loved and well respected in the football world.
Indeed.
Yep.
Well, we got to get back on track with high school football, Mike. What on earth? What happened this weekend?
Well, you want to talk about the games from this past week?
Yeah, let's do that.
Hey, do you want me to go over the picks first or our standings?
No, let's go. Yeah, you can. Okay. Let's go over so that's what we do last week. I don't even remember. Did we pick last week?
We did. Didn't we did. I'll start from the bottom with Mike and Pat.
Yes.
Both going 4-6.
Agony.
And then Lewis was above 500, 6-4. And then, the ball knower Carson,
ball knower
was 7-3. So, we've got, Carson and Lewis are now, myself and Lewis are now tied at 31-19. Mike, has got a commanding lead in second place at 26-24. And then, Patrick would be in it if his record was reversed.
Indeed.
He is 22-28. And let's just say he's still got plenty of games to get back in.
No, I've been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. No. I'm out.
It's that graphic that they show up. It's like middle of the season, the first team that gets eliminated from the playoffs. It's like, oh. So, Pat, the question for you is, are you going to start tanking now?
Am I going to start taking
the first draft?
Are you going to try to get the first overall pick?
No, like I said at the beginning of this whole season, I think I'm just going to go get the dartboard out, and my picks are going to be based on how well I throw darts. I think that's what I'm going to do.
I like it. But let's hit the games and hear what we got.
So one last thing on the picks, Carson. You've gone 7-3. Is it 2 weeks in a row?
It is indeed.
So this week I made sure Carson won't go 7-3.
How so?
I only put 8 games on our board.
Yep. So I was, you know, today joking around. I was like, I'm gonna go 7-3 for the third week in a row. And Mike's, of course, like, it's not possible. We've got 8 games.
I should have bet him before I reminded, like, 100 bucks. I bet you 100 bucks.
No, so we got 8 games, but it's
the whole max off this week except North Buncombe and Asheville.
Yeah, but we've got a good slate, and I'm just trying to one game at a time. That's it.
Now, if you and Lewis wind up tied at the end of this thing, do you have to have a boxing match to settle it?
I will not. I've seen Lewis box. I'm not. I want no smoke in that.
You do know the loser has to take us to dinner.
Who said that?
We agreed on
that. We agreed on that at the very beginning.
At the very beginning.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
Oh. Of course you don't, Pat. All right, well, let's talk about last week's games. We'll start with the private school action. We have Christ School traveling to Charlotte Latin. Charlotte Latin, a 4.5-point underdog at home, and they get the big win, 35-12. No stats from this game. I did see Christ School had 4 turnovers, and they got a big game coming up this week with
Huge
the Asheville
game.
School. Carson and Mike got this one correct.
Yeah, just we don't know we don't know exactly what's going on in Lower Arden, but obviously, just based off of last year, it looks like Christ School, as we kind of figured down a little bit.
Latin 5-0. Most famous alumni that I could find, Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones, quarterback. Yep. Daniel Jones, and he looks good with the Colts.
He wasn't that famous when he was the Giants quarterback.
Nope. No, but he looks elite right now.
For sure. So next up, and I wish Lewis was here to tell us about it, because Owen doesn't put stats up, but Owen traveled to Polk. Polk was a 5.5-point favorite. Owen comes away with the win, 17-14. For Polk, quarterback Brady Wilkins, a 6-9, 72 yards and an interception, while running back Sanchez, 25 carries, 189 yards and a touchdown. I mean, he probably should be in the player of the week running, right?
Yeah, probably.
Just kidding. That's a joke with Lewis and I. Of course, Lewis didn't hear.
Well, you know, we were on the text thread, and of course, Lewis was texting the scores in for the game, and you could tell it was obviously an exciting game. And then the news, I guess, was there or something, because I saw the clip where it was one on a last second field goal. So that's awesome.
Hayden Burpo kicks a field goal to win the game.
Yeah, that's
and Lewis
awesome.
Has talked about Hayden all year. I mean, it sounds like he just does.
He's a little bit of everything. He's also a shortstop on the baseball team and pitches some.
Great athlete. But, I mean, Owen, how many wins does that bring Owen to?
That's 3.
3 wins.
That's as many as the last 3 years combined.
Yeah. And so, I mean, Lewis told us at the beginning of the year that things seemed a little bit different. And he has told us that the years past. But this year, very exciting things going on in Swannanoa.
Even the sun shines on a dog's butt once in a while.
Yes.
Isn't that right, Pat?
Go War Horses. Good for them.
Good for them. 3-2.
Yeah.
So they got another tough one this week. Next up, by the way, Carson, Pat, and Lewis got that one correct. I picked Polk. Mitchell at Hendersonville. Hendersonville was a 23.5-point favorite. They also come away with the win and cover 34-7. Carson, Pat, Lewis, and Mike, we all got this one correct. Quarterback for Hendersonville, Jerron Ward, was 8-17 with 85 yards, 2 interceptions. He ran it 13 times for 63 yards and 2 touchdowns. Running back Jordan Buford had 16 carries, 93 yards, and 2 touchdowns. For Mitchell, the quarterback, Owen Riddle, 2 of 8 for 104, 16 carries, 124 yards, and a touchdown, only able to put up 7. Hendersonville back rolling again.
Yeah, that game's going to sort of help prepare them for other games to come in their conference. So good to see what Hendersonville can do with that, because it sounds like, I mean, he had 100-some yards, a Mitchell quarterback, 124 yards rushing. They only gave up 7, though. So you got to think, is there, you know, bend don't break, and defense probably stepped up and made some plays.
Definitely.
Indeed.
And I think that Jordan Buford out there, underrated running back, he puts up big numbers every week.
He does.
So. Next up, West Henderson. Guys, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, we We were done on Wes Henderson early. They're 3-1, by the way. they traveled to Tuscola.
We can't get Wes right.
No, we cannot. No.
Tuscola was home dog, 3.5-point underdog. West wins 21-7. Carson and Mike get this one correct. For West Henderson, Zane McGraw, the running back, 31 carries, 200 yards. Quarterback Cade Young, 11 of 20 for 184 yards and a touchdown. For Tuscola, Jet Bartley, 17 of 31 for 166, a touchdown and interception. Running back Sam Trantham, 7 carries, 37 yards, was the leading rusher. Tuscola only able to manage 208 yards of offense.
Yeah, and not many on the ground.
West had one bad game.
Yeah,
and it was a real bad game.
And we were out, and I was out on him.
Yeah, we're out on him.
I was out on him. But read that I think Zane McGraw had a big interception to help close out the game. And so, yes. I mean, just goes back to, you know, we're seeing a lot of that. These players, they're the best athletes on the field. They're doing a little bit of both when they're needed and whatnot. And one of the best running backs around makes a huge interception. So awesome for West.
I agree. So another good game, Pisgah at North Henderson. This was a pick 'em. Pisgah gets the win 28-20. Pat Lewis get this one right.
Yes.
For Pisgah, quarterback Mahaffey, 6 of 8 for 65 and a touchdown. Running back Landon Pope, 32 carries, 226 yards and a touchdown. As a team, they had 324 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns. Ooh. Pisgah wants to run the ball.
Yes.
Well, how physical they are, I mean.
The most physical team in all of the what, Pat?
You have been claiming that has been my statement, that they are the most physical team in the universe. Yeah. You know,
Metaverse.
I think the original statement was they were the most physical team at the scrimmage.
At that jamboree. Yeah.
We have twisted that into something.
Yes, you have.
Our creative imaginations.
So for North Henderson, running back Parker Willis, 28 carries, 264 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Carson, this guy has over 200 yards, it seems, every game.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think if you would have given me that stat line, I would have been like, okay, for sure, North Henderson.
Here's the other piece of it: 307 total yards for North, 264 was Parker Willis. He kept them in the game, couldn't get the win.
Yes.
28-20 Pisgah. Pat Lewis got this one right.
Yes.
So next up, this was a very entertaining Thursday night game. Of course, it didn't start till late because of a storm, and didn't get over till midnight on a Thursday night.
Oof.
Hope they were in class the next morning.
Bavard at Franklin. Franklin, a 15.5-point underdog at home at Western Carolina. Bavard gets the win, 34-28 in overtime. Carson, the only one to get this one right. For Bavard, they have a two-headed monster quarterback, Kessinger and Conley, and they both had pretty good games that amounted to one good game. Of course, they're led by their wide receiver, Tristan Thompson, wins 6 catches, 107 yards, and a touchdown. Running back Braden Thompson, 135 yards and 3 touchdowns. For Franklin, running back Garrett Young had 30 carries, 189 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Bavard now 4-0, Franklin 3-2. Bavard, they don't cover ever.
No. Yeah, it's just...
So they're a good team.
I was just going with the points and at home, and Franklin might be that gritty football team, and Brevard's tough though.
That's another example where they're all the same.
Yeah,
they're all the same. Yeah. All the teams are very similar in how good they are.
Yeah,
and Brevard is still undefeated.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So next up, TC at South Caldwell. South Caldwell, a 28.5-point underdog at home, and TC gets the win 40-6.
Oof.
Carson Lewis Mike got this one correct. I think Pat's picked TC every week this year.
Have I? Really?
But not this week.
No?
Not this week we're talking
Pat
about.
Pat loves local, and that's, I mean, I respect
I am a local
it.
Homer.
Yep. And that's okay.
He's the one who's been here the shortest amount of time as well.
Yeah. I'm not as jaded as you.
So quarterback
and Carson and certainly Lewis.
For TC, quarterback Karad Harris, 11 of 19 for 232 and 3 touchdowns. TC now 2-3. They're quietly maybe turning things around a little bit.
Yeah.
For South Caldwell, they had less than 200 yards of offense. So TC able to shut them down and put up some points.
Just and with one of those games, it's, you know, Robertson needs to go in there and handle business. 28.5 points, you know, that kind of gives you a inclination that they're going to be that they should handle business. They should go in there, win comfortably, and great for confidence for them heading into conference.
Yeah. So where did TC land out of their non-conference schedule? How'd they finish?
2-3.
All right.
Yep.
That's 2 wins and 3 losses.
Yes.
Yep.
I want to make sure you are clear.
Indeed.
He's fully aware of how the spread works.
I am now because I'm not doing very well with it.
So next up, this would have been a conference matchup last year, but not this year. Enkel traveled down to take on McDowell. McDowell, a 9.5-point favorite at home, and McDowell gets the win, 33-7. Quarterback Danny Brown was 16 of 22 for 212 yards and a touchdown. He also had 100 yards rushing, and they only had 100 yards rushing as a team, but they scored 4 touchdowns on the ground.
Wow.
I thought those two didn't go together, but
yeah,
they
that
did.
doesn't seem
100
like...
yards rushing as a team.
Wow.
So McDowell now 3-1. Enkel drops to 1-4. No stats for Enkel on the
internet. No, and they had just beat Cherokee too. So
I know, yeah, that's why I chose them. I was the only one who got that one wrong. Carson Pat Lewis got it right.
Yeah, just I don't know, but they're a great game from the quarterback. 16 of 22, super efficient. Sounds like they probably. I wonder if there was any turnovers there to give them short fields for them to be able to run the ball and not have over 100 yards of rushing and get 4 touchdowns on the ground.
Or maybe some special team stuff.
Special team stuff. I mean, never know.
So next up, we have Buncombe County favorite Watauga. They're down here saying they pretty much played the MAC for their non-conference.
Yep.
So they traveled down to Irwin. It was a Saturday game because of weather. Irwin, a 29.5-point underdog at home. Unfortunately, they lose 49-14. Carson and Lewis get this one right for Watauga. Quarterback Cade Keller, 7 of 11 for 140 and 2 touchdowns. He also had 5 carries for 95 yards and 2 more touchdowns, 4 total. They had 9 rushers who totaled 325 yards.
I mean, we talk about them each week, it seems like, at the beginning of the year because they're always playing teams we cover. And what a well-coached team for to be able to just do that consistently.
Yeah, Watauga 4-0, and they're the best team in the 828 area code currently.
Yeah. Yeah.
In my opinion. So next up, Pat.
Yes.
Reynolds traveled to Freedom. Freedom was a pick 'em. It was a pick 'em down at Freedom.
It was.
Freedom gets the win 70-20. We all picked Reynolds in this one.
Yes. That was the curse.
If I would have given you 49, would you have taken Reynolds?
People may think that we all took Reynolds out of a... I did not take Reynolds. I don't think any of us took Reynolds out of a... like, out of a joke. I think that we literally... It was a pick-em.
They had only beat TC by 6. So yep. I'm thinking Reynolds is better than TC from what I've seen. They're going to get the win, but it just didn't happen. Let me give you just a couple stats for Reynolds. Well, they haven't given up this many points since 2013 when they gave up 69 to Irwin's in a 69-28 loss. Quarterback Colton Reimer, 12 of 19, 172 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. As a team, they only had 21 yards rushing. Wide receiver Caden Ray, 5 catches, 87 yards, and a touchdown. For Freedom, quarterback Caden Davis, he had 6 passing and 1 rushing touchdown. Wide receiver Kobe Johnson, 6 receiving touchdowns and 1 fumble recovery for a touchdown. He broke the Burke County single game receiving touchdown record, which has stood since 1873.
Wow.
No, I made that part up. But he did break the record. I don't know how old it is. I know you watched some film on this game. What'd you see?
Yeah, so obviously it didn't go quite the way they were hoping for, but there were some bright spots for Reynolds with this game, and I'll paint the picture as best I can for you. But Freedom gets the ball, and they start on their own 35, and they have some passes, some runs. They look pretty good on offense, but penalties killed them, and they had to punt. ACR gets the ball back on the 46. Reynolds, on their first play, they try to do a reverse, and the pitch goes awry, and it does not go well, and the fumble ensues, and Freedom gathers that up and runs it back for a touchdown, 7-0 Freedom. Then ACR starts on their own 31. Reimer fakes the handoff, and then it's a great fake because everybody bit on the run, and then he threw it out into the flat, and Caden Ray, man, did he look good. He takes it all the way down to the Freedom 30. Then a 25-yard touchdown pass to Keeter follows that, and then the celebration penalty in the end zone forced a longer PAT attempt that was no longer good due to a high snap. So then it goes 7-6 Freedom, and then Freedom gets it on their 44. It's a 10-yard touchdown pass and a two-point conversion that's good. It's 15-6 Freedom. And then on the ensuing kickoff, Reynolds' Caden Ray fields the ball at the 5-yard line and runs it back for a touchdown. I mean, just brilliant. Brilliant special teams play by that young man. Two-point conversion, no good. It's 15-12 Freedom. And then they start on the 35. The option play, huge hit by Ray Allen for Reynolds. It's a fumble. ACR recovers it. Stacyon Taylor is the one that picks this ball up, and he carries the ball in several Freedom players all the way down to the 15-yard line. Freedom interception happens, though, on the 1-yard line. So then the next thing that happens is a quick run to get it out to about the 3-yard line, and then a 97-yard touchdown pass by Freedom with the PAT goods, 22-12 Freedom.
Reynolds, 97-yard touchdown.
Yeah, pass. There were two
Did
defensive backs.
Did he just get behind him
there.
Or what?
Yeah, he got behind him, and then once he caught the ball, nobody could catch up to him. He was gone. 22-12 Freedom at that point. Reynolds gets it back on their own 39. It's 3rd and 15 at the Freedom 33. Caden Ray breaks several tackles, spinning, dodging, and he gets a 33-yard touchdown reception, and the two-point conversion from Reimer to Klepper is good. So it's 22-20 Freedom, and then Freedom starts at the ACR 46, 23-yard touchdown pass. It's now 29-20 Freedom. Onside kick by Freedom. Freedom recovers it at the ACR 32. Then it's an 11-yard QB option for the touchdown. PAT is good. 36-20 to Freedom. Reynolds starts at their own 39. It's a 3-and-out. Freedom has it on their own 6. It's a 26-yard touchdown pass, and the extra point's no good there. And then it's now 42-20 Freedom. Reynolds gets it on the 36. It's an interception off the carom. So Reimer throws the ball, hits the receiver, looked like either in the arm or the shoulder, and it bounced way up in the air, and then the ball did not go Reynolds' way for sure. It was an interception at that point. And they take over on their own 41. And then I believe that was halftime, because the next thing I noticed is that ACR has the ball starting on their own 8. It's a nice drive. It winds up being a turnover on downs. Freedom takes over on their own 38. Reynolds gets pressure. The quarterback constantly evading. Big pass, 62-yard touchdown pass, 49-20 Freedom. Reynolds on the 20, 3-and-out. Freedom ball at the ACR 44, 27-yard touchdown pass. 56-20 Freedom at that point. Reynolds starts on their 42, Freedom interception at the 5. Run back to the ACR 30, 8-yard touchdown run for Freedom. 63-20. ACR starts on the Freedom 38. It's an option. It's a fumble. Freedom recovers at their own 39. 55-yard touchdown run, 70-20, and that's your final. So basically what I could tell is that Freedom's had amazing athletes. I mean, they really were very athletic. The play, I don't know what you call it, where the quarterback can either pull it and run one way or hand the ball off and go left or to the running back, and he has the option.
RPI.
Yeah, is that what it is? RPI. RPI.
Either one.
Run pass
RPI,
option.
RPI, rocket pride inside.
Yeah, that too. Reynolds could not really stop that. That was a goal play for them all night. And they pretty much had the battle of the trenches won against Reynolds, pretty much on both sides of the ball. Reynolds' defense did have some nice plays in there. They could get pressure every now and then on the quarterback, but the quarterback was so good at evading it. I don't think he was ever sacked for a loss. He got tackled, but it was after about a 3-yard gain on scrambling. And then when he was scrambling, he heaved the ball down the field to these wide open receivers and was just gone, as you heard the tale. And then, of course, the ball just didn't bounce Reynolds' way several times. So a bunch of turnovers, and they were very costly. So, but, Caden Ray had a great game. I think there's stuff to take away from this game because it's a non-conference game. It certainly wasn't an easy opponent, and that's kind of how Coach Laws has been setting things up to get teams like this and get that kind of experience to try and get into the postseason. And you already mentioned that Freedom had the win and a close one over TC 20-14, but the other three contests – Patton on August 22nd was a 46-6 win. On August 29th, they beat Drawn 68-0. And then they downed East Burke on the 5th of September, 61-22, and they're 5-0 right now. So
yeah,
they're definitely a real team.
So how were they able to get so open? It seems like there were a lot of long passes.
It's just long passes over the top.
Were they rushing? You know, were they rushing four, rushing five, and then dropping the rest back, and they were still getting behind them?
Yeah, well, and the other thing too is if the quarterback was scrambling or coming out of there, obviously that was altering, you know, people having to come up and try and stop. As soon as that would happen, you know,
yeah,
you would launch it, and I think once the guy caught it on the other end, he would win the foot race. So it was yeah, they had really good athletes, and they were big on the line. So.
I mean, obviously, yeah, that's tough. I mean, I don't think anybody would have ever expected that score or anything like that. And there's definitely things that Reynolds is going to take away from it and try and learn and make adjustments. And they probably won't be facing a team with those athletes until the playoffs come for the rest of the way. But it's definitely, I mean, it's definitely, I would say, concerning to give up 70 points.
For sure.
Indeed.
So let's talk about the standings.
Ooh, I'd love some standings.
Some conference standings. So no MAC conference standings yet because they haven't started play till next week. But after week five, we do have some. In the Mountain 8, Pisgah on top, 2-0. West, 1-0. Brevard, 1-0. Franklin, 1-1. Smoky Mountain, 1-1. Tuscola, 1-1. North Henderson, 0-2. Listen, North Henderson could easily be 2-0 in that conference and be at the top. And then East Henderson, 0-2. For the Western Highlands, guys, there's a battle for first place this week. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, but it's not the two you would think. We'll talk about it later. Hendersonville 1-0, Owen 1-0, Madison 1-0, Polk 0-1, Mitchell 0-1, Avery 0-1. Mount Heritage is in last place, guys. They haven't played a conference game. They're 0-0.
I was going to say.
Battle for first place in the Western Highlands.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge, huge game. Yeah. Anything can happen.
You never know.
You never know.
This year especially.
I mean, yeah, for sure.
So did you get a chance to talk to Derek, maybe get his dirty dozen top 10?
I did. I think I'm going to mix it up this week. I think that I'm going to start at the top.
Okay.
I usually start at 10, work my way up. I think
I've always heard you started at the bottom, now we're here.
Yep. That's what... Who sings that?
I have no idea.
Oh, that would have been cool. That would have been impressive if you knew it.
No.
But number one, he's keeping Brevard there.
Yeah,
he,
definitely.
You know, he put him on upset alert last week. And they almost fell, but they're to a scrappy Franklin team, pushed them to their limits. In a lightning filled Thursday night, Brevard remains the top spot as the only Western North Carolina's only undefeated football team. Would y'all expect, you know, 5 weeks in that there's only one undefeated football team?
No.
Yep. Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Is it Brevard undefeated?
Yeah, that's the only one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep.
I'm go ahead.
Okay.
Never mind me. Let me sip my coffee.
Mountain Heritage, number two, after a bye week. A bye week after a loss to right the ship. Madison is in for a rude awakening Friday night. Tough matchup for Madison. Number three, he's got Asheville. Bye week to get ready for Watauga. Makes me think the Cougars could have a fighting chance Friday night. But it will still be a tall task with a young group. Can the Cougs offense keep pace with the Pioneers? A big night needed from Tay Williams and company. And we'll talk about that more as we go over the game. Number four, he's got Hendersonville moving up from the sixth spot. The Bearcats get the ball rolling in the right direction with a blowout to open up league play against Mitchell. They will not be tested again until Mountain Heritage and versus Hendersonville week 10.
Man, so is that the last week? I think it is, right?
It's, yeah, I think so.
Man. What a way to end it.
Yeah. And then you got Wes Henderson moving up from the seventh spot, a scrappy win against a good Tuscola team. Once again, Wes continues to prove that they can win the close ball games.
Yeah, for sure.
We're sitting here, it's like, how's that surprising?
Yeah.
They had one bad game, and I was just like.
One. We jump ship quick.
and they've got Irwin dropping from the five to the sixth spot. A loss to one of the top teams in the state drops the Warriors a spot. But the Warriors can come out of non-conference, battle-tested. Look for the Warriors to compete for a conference title despite having a losing record coming into conference play.
There's nobody looking forward to conference play more than Irwin High School.
Correct.
I mean,
yeah,
they have played nothing but conference champions, and I think they're ready to play, you know, North Buncombe and Inca and
Robertson
and Reynolds and those guys, yeah, and not play Watauga and Hendersonville and West Henderson and, yeah, all those, and Mount Heritage.
Yeah. And this, and how it's stacked up for Reynolds. I mean, Reynolds just giving up 70. Irwin, what's happened with their injuries and their losses. I mean, those two are probably cannot wait to play each other.
I know. If I had to pick right now who's going to win the conference in the MAC, I have no idea.
That's easy. Cougars. And then you got Pisgah at number 7. The old Mill Town continues to prove their worth amongst Western North Carolina teams. A close win against North Henderson bumps up the Bears 2 spots in the power rankings. Are they good enough to challenge West and Brevard for the Mountain 8 title? You got number 8, Franklin remains strong at the 8 spot. The Panthers almost shocked Western North Carolina Thursday night in Cullowhee. The defense struggled to tackle in space, but they won't go up against an offense similar to Brevard's until West Henderson in the final week. And dropping from the 4 spot to the 9 spot. And they've not dropped out of the rankings completely, but they have dropped to the 9 spot. We got AC Reynolds.
Gasp.
Things snowballed for the Rockets Friday night in Morganton. Despite the bad showing off the mountain, the Rockets will still challenge for a conference title. If they can get healthy and limit turnovers, look for the Rockets to turn it around in conference play. The bye week could not have come at a better time.
Agreed.
And so then you got number 10. They were previously not rated. He's got T.C. Robertson. Drubbing of South Caldwell brings the Rams back into the power rankings for week 5. Are the Rams figuring things out? You have to think anything can happen this year in the MAC. It's kind of what we've been talking about.
For sure.
We'll continue to talk about it.
Hmm. So one other thing, we'll talk about the high school overtime, 8-2-8, top 15. Guys, no surprise, Watauga, number 1.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Freedom, number 2. Brevard, 3. Hickory, 4. Reynolds, 5. I kind of looked at that, and I was like, 5? But 6 is Maiden. Reynolds beat Maiden.
Yep.
7 is Murphy.
Yep.
Reynolds also beat Murphy.
Beat Murphy.
8 is Franklin. 9 is Swain, 10 Mount Heritage, 11 Asheville, East Rutherford, Pisgah, Hendersonville, and West Henderson. I think a couple at the bottom will eventually rise closer to the top, but the problem is everybody's so even, there's going to be a lot of beating up on each other.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you were to tell me week 5 going in that Swain would, I mean, be ahead of Mountain Heritage. I mean,
and we brought it up last week because Mike and I were at the Jamboree and Reynolds played Swain.
I'm pretty sure Swain brought their JV team.
That must have been because, I mean, in a half, wasn't it? Am I right?
It was a half
45 points.
It was a running clock half.
Yeah. So, I mean,
45.
Wow.
To your point about it, I don't think did they bring the JV? I don't know because it just doesn't add up.
It doesn't.
It does not add up.
They almost beat Murphy week 1. And then they do beat Mount Heritage, so.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. You guys ready to talk about this week? You ready to make some picks?
I am.
Well,
I am.
No, I'm going to, but I'm really not ready.
We gave Pat Lewis's picks because, Pat's in last place, so it doesn't matter.
Do you want me to do Lewis's picks?
Well, we'll go around the table. We won't make him pick first every time.
Oh, all right.
Even though he can't, they are set in stone. He can't change them to try and keep pace with me,
which is what he likes to do.
Which is
also what you like to do.
Well, Lewis is smart like me, so
yeah.
Let's not choke on feel good too much right now. It is a competition.
I could go 0-8. I mean, this
didn't you actually go 0-8 last year? Or
yes, which I will tell everybody that is as impressive as going 10-0. It is
okay.
I mean, think about if you do a parlay. And you miss every leg. That's almost as impressive. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. It's the battle for first place in Western Highlands Conference.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mount Heritage, 3-1, travels to Madison, 3-2, but 1-0 in the conference.
Dun, dun, dun.
This is going to be a barn burner, guys. Madison at home, a 45.5-point underdog. For Madison, they're led by their running back, Ivan Blankenship, 130 yards a game, 4 touchdowns. They rush it for 263 yards as a team per game. They average 28 while only giving up 20, and they beat Avery last week 47-20. Mount Heritage lost to Swain 16-14 and then had a bye week, so they've had a week off. They're averaging 36 while giving up 17. Last year, Mount Heritage won this game 55-13. Pat, who are you taking?
Now, you just said Madison had the week off last week, right?
Mount Heritage.
Mount Heritage.
Mount Heritage did. Okay.
Madison then beat Avery, which is like having a week off.
Okay. Okay. Then my choice, I'm going to have to take Mountain Heritage.
Mount Heritage for Pat. Yeah. What about Lewis?
Lewis would like to take Madison with the points.
No way.
That's what he says.
He never
right
takes
here.
Madison.
He's got Madison plus 45.5.
I'm also taking Madison because I think they're better than they were last year. And they were able to stay within that 45. So I'm taking Madison in the points. Carson?
You're giving Ronald Dean Tipton 45.5 points.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm going with the Madison Patriots, keeping it within. It goes back to Mount Heritage played North Buncombe. North Buncombe and Madison played. North Buncombe's got a great running back that obviously broke off in the second half, large chunk plays and whatnot. I'm hoping that Madison early can keep it within reason early, because then they're just going to run out of time. And 46 points, a lot of time. So not sitting here, do not think it's an upset alert. Do not, by no stretch of the imagination, but I'm going to have to go with 45 points.
Freedom said 45, not that many.
Yep. Freedom was like, hold my beer.
Just kidding. So next up, another battling conference here. North Henderson, 2-3, 0-2 in the conference, travels to Brevard. They're 4-0, 1-0 in the conference. Brevard, 18.5 point favorite at home. They have wins against Reynolds, Irwin, North Buncombe, and Franklin. They're done beating up on the MAC, and it's time for conference play. For North Henderson, they've lost two conference games by a combined 20 points, and they have Western North Carolina's leading rusher in Parker Willis. He keeps them in the game. Carson, can North Henderson get the win this week?
I do not think North Henderson can get the win, but I think that they can keep it within the points. I think they're going to try. The rushing line for Willis is set at 220 yards, and I'm going to go with the over. And hopefully enough clock. And Mike's mentioned it a couple times. It's like Brevard has a tough time covering. Well, they also have big spreads in their games, which we've talked about with other good teams in the past. I think Brevard handles this game, wins it. But I do hope that North can travel and can limit the turnovers. We don't need any interceptions. We just need to feed him the rock, get some first downs, move the ball, squeak out a couple touchdowns, keep it within 18 points.
I think Brevard, they don't generally cover, but they're going to cover here. Brevard gets the win and covers. Pat?
I agree completely with Mike Anderson and have nothing further to offer to that conversation.
What about your boy?
Now, Lewis, in his way, has chosen North Henderson.
Pat's texting him your picks and he's replying.
That's what I'm doing real quick.
Just kidding. So let's break off here for just a second. We talk about all these running backs and how many yards they have rushing, and not a lot of great quarterback play in our area this year.
No.
In my opinion, the best pro-style quarterback, we're talking about a quarterback who drops backs and throws, it's going to be Caden Engel.
I would agree.
A lot of injuries. A new offensive line. He's not able to really show what he can do. So, really, running backs are the key this year. And that's one of the reasons, you know, when you have a dominant quarterback, that's when you see a team that can put up a lot of points and win when maybe they're not supposed to.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, there's been some games, there's been some solid quarterback play in games. Don't get us wrong, but, you know, how many are sitting back, dropping back 35 times a game? I mean, it's just not happening. I mean, it's every week we're discussing big games from players, and there's four options of guys that's rushed the ball 25 plus times for 200 plus touchdowns with 200 plus yards for 2-3 touchdowns. So it's just one of those things. I don't know exactly what the cause of that is and whatnot, but it seems like there's a lot more teams utilizing the ground game this year.
Your point is well taken. If you look at that ACR Freedom game, because the quarterback for Freedom was the guy, without a doubt.
I mean, the best player on the field.
Without, and wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And even over the wide receiver.
Oh yeah, the wide receiver is just the beneficiary of his talent, and the fact that he had the, you know, the line in front of him that he had all the time he wanted, and the decision, you know, he could do the run, he could do the pass. He was, you know, to your point, he was the guy.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a down year for quarterbacks in this area. Not that there aren't some good ones that are good what they do. Mount Heritage quarterback, he's fantastic at what they do, which is run the football and do this. You know,
and I think Cade Young at West has great. Yes. He's got a great skill set. It's just that's the reality of their system of play is they're, you know, they're not dropping him back. They've got a
McGraw. They're going to hand it to McGraw.
They've got Zane McGraw. They're going to run the ball 25 times with, and they need Cade to, you know, hit. You know, they're going to give him 10 to 15 passes a game. It's like let's hit 8 of those, and just to try to keep the defense honest, because you got to imagine defenses are trying to pack the box on these West North Carolina teams.
You would think,
yeah.
So, sorry to break off there. I thought about that earlier in the day, and I forgot to bring it up. So, next up, Tuscola, 3-2. They're 1-1 in the conference. They're traveling to Smoky Mountain. They're also 3-2, 1-1 in the conference. Smoky Mountain, 13.5-point home dog. They won last week 54-6 over East Henderson. For Tuscola, they lost to West Henderson last week 21-7. Both teams averaging about the same. Tuscola 27, Smoky Mountain 28. Tuscola giving up 23, Smoky Mountain giving up 16. This could be a real close game. Pat, who did Lewis take?
Lewis, what did Lewis do here? He went with Tuscola, it looks like.
Carson?
I'm going to go with Smoky Mountain. I'm going to keep them within the points.
Last year, Smoky won this game 21-16. Pat?
Yeah, I'm going to think it's going to be a repeat of the game that Smoky faced with Pisgah, where Pisgah won, but they weren't able to cover. I think you're going to see that here with Tuscola as well. I think Tuscola wins the game, but I don't think they beat them by more than 13.5. So give me Smoky Mountain and the points.
I think Tuscola gets the win, and I think they win by 2 touchdowns. I'm going to take Tuscola here. So next up, Franklin, 3-2, just had a gritty performance against Brevard. Traveling to Pisgah. Pisgah 4-1, 2-0 in the conference. Pisgah 6.5-point underdog at home. Franklin, the higher ranked team here. Pisgah, after losing to Mount Heritage, they've won 4 in a row. They beat Swain, Inca, Smoky Mountain, and North Henderson. Last year, Pisgah won this game 24-7. Guys, I'll start this one, and I think. I'm taking Pisgah.
Ooh, okay.
I think I'm taking Pisgah in the points.
Yeah, I'll go. I don't know if Franklin's going to have as tough of a time tackling in space against Pisgah, so I'm going to go with Franklin here covering, winning by a touchdown.
And Lewis will hold your hand and walk through the tulips with you with that pick, because he's also taking Franklin.
Come on, Lewis.
You guys can watch a Hallmark movie together.
My boy.
I am going to go with Pisgah. Give me the Bears.
He's got to take them because
he has to, because he'll get chirped on Facebook.
That
for
lady
sure.
was mad at him.
I saw her in her office this week.
Did she tell you to take Pisgah?
She always does. She's a loyal, diehard Pisgah Bear fan.
All right. So next up, these two teams didn't play last year. Owen, 3-2, traveling to Avery, 1-4. Avery, a 15.5-point home dog. They lost to Madison 47-20 last week. They're scoring 21 while giving up 38. For Owen, if they're going to finish 500, they got to win this game. I don't think they're as good as Madison, but they should be able to get it done. I'm going to take Owen to win by more than 15.5. Who did Lewis take? Let me guess.
Yeah. really? Yeah. Lewis is taking Owen.
What are you doing, Pat?
Pat, what do you think?
I'm going with the War Horses, too. Let me have them.
Clean sweep. Do we have a curse? Because I'm also going to go with Owen as well.
All right.
There you go.
I don't think I'm very good.
No, I don't think. And I think this is one of those games that it's like, if Owen gets a chance to flex, I think they do. And I think they should and they could try and run it up here a little bit.
Yeah. So next up, we've only got 3 left. Next up, we got McDowell, 3-1 at North Buncombe, 2-2. North Buncombe, 12.5-point home dog. Carson?
Oh, I'm going to go with the points at home, North Buncombe. what McDowell just did to Inca doesn't give me a whole bunch of confidence, to be honest, because I think the Inca North Buncombe game could be a great game.
Very close.
Yeah, I think it could be very close. But I'm going to go with North Buncombe. Hopefully the running back just has a big game.
And I could have given you a little information. McDowell did beat Inca last week, 33-7. They have wins against RS Central and Avery. They lost to Mitchell. In my opinion, this is the same game as last week. And McDowell gets the win.
I agree.
More than 12 and a half.
I agree, Mike. I'm taking McDowell, please.
What about Louis?
And he will also join you and I in the McDowell camp. Carson's
perfect.
On an island.
Huge game. Humongous game. Come on, North Buncombe, cover. I know you're listening.
Don't you feel like Inca and North Buncombe the same team?
I do.
But you don't feel like it's going to be the same outcome.
I'm hoping that with the film, I don't know. I'm hoping that North Buncombe learned something from last week. The 100 yards rushing with the four touchdowns kind of, it's like, was there turnovers? I know is Reynolds. I mean, North Buncombe is not going to put themselves in a position to have a lot of turnovers.
Yeah.
They'll run the ball 40 times.
We'll see. So next up, probably the game of the week in Western North Carolina. This is the 99th meeting of Christ School and Asheville School. This one's going to be at Asheville School. Christ School 3-2 on the year, while Asheville School's 2-1-1. They got a tie. Give me a break. What is this, hockey? Asheville School, an 8.5-point favorite at home. Their game last week was canceled because of rain. They're averaging 35 a game while giving up 26. For Christ School, they're averaging 33 while giving up 27. Like I said, it's a 99th meeting. Christ School's won 13 in a row. Last year, Christ School won 26-25 in overtime in what was played after the season because of the storm. And over the 99 years, Asheville School has 50 wins to Christ School's 44, and there's been four ties.
Just like in hockey.
So this, in my opinion, this is going to be a fantastic football game as always. These two teams hate each other, and I think it's going to be close. Who did Lewis select?
Let's see. Lewis would like to have Asheville School with the 8.5-point deficit.
All right. Pat?
Yeah, I think Asheville School's buckling up. I think they're coming for Christ School. I think it's unlucky 13 for Christ School. I think Asheville School's going to get it done at home.
Carson.
I hope you pick them because I don't have the faith in them to pick them, and we might have another curse on this game. So I'm going to go with Asheville School. I think Asheville School has got so much pent up. This is their Super Bowl.
It is.
I mean, it's obviously enormous game for Christ School as well, but this is Christ School's got other big games against good teams. And I'm going to pick against a team that just lost to my Cougars by a whole heck of a lot of points. So I'm going to go with the Asheville School Blues.
Well, I'm just happy to pick one up because let me tell you, Christ School is going to dominate this game.
Are they?
They're not even going to stay within the 8.5. They're going to win probably by 2 touchdowns.
So they're going to cover 8.5.
Yes.
I love that.
And here's the thing. I saw Asheville School play, and if Christ School is, I just don't think, I know they're a different Christ School team than the team I've watched the last 3 years. They still got some dudes over there, and I think they can win this game, and they can win it pretty handily. I think they can get pressure on the quarterback. He is not a very tall quarterback, so if you can get pressure, it's hard for him to throw it. Christ School's got some good DBs. This is number 13. This will be number 13 in a row. I'm sorry, this will be number 14 in a row, and it's Greeny Nation. They're going to get the win.
I like it. Should be a great game.
Mike on an island.
He could pick up a game.
I need one. I need multiple games.
I need one.
But this is also an opportunity to save face for private school football. Asheville School should throw the game because if Christ School wins, then it doesn't maybe set private school football back 10 years.
10 years. But if Asheville School wins handily, it is private schools has been set back 15 years.
Yeah, we're done talking about private school football.
Oh, gosh.
All right, so next up, Watauga travels back to Buncombe County. I know that's a surprise for you guys. They're taking on the Cougars of Asheville. Asheville had a bye week last week, and conference play starts next week. For Watauga, they're the number one team in the 8-2-8. They have the best. They have one of the best. I'm sorry. Let me start that over. They are one of the best coach teams. I don't think there's any argument here. They are great at what they do. Currently, they're 2-0 in the MAC and scoring 45 points a game against MAC opponents while only giving up 7. They're 4-0 on the year. Asheville 2-2. Asheville a 12.5 point underdog at home. So Carson, are you going to pick your boys here?
The bye week gives me a little bit of hope. I think that Watauga is obviously, we've given them their flowers the whole episode. They're a phenomenal team. But, you know, let's not discredit what Asheville's been able to do.
Asheville High, their defense.
Yeah, the one that we were like is the worst unit in West North Carolina.
Who's their defensive coordinator?
Cardillo.
Man, that defense at Asheville, let me tell you. They have shown some real improvements here.
They've shown some improvements.
I think you go ahead and finish your pick, but that defense has shown some improvement. Go ahead.
They have shown some improvements with the it's what Derek said. It comes down to the offense, because I think Watauga is going to be able to get theirs against. They're going to have their opportunities to get theirs. I love my guys, but I don't see a way that Watauga doesn't score 40 or 50 points.
Does Asheville score 40 or 50?
No, I've got Watauga covering this game.
All right, Pat.
Watauga shows up with the S on the chest and the cape blowing in the background, without a doubt. Watauga's got this. Asheville, I hope you're the kryptonite, but Watauga, yeah.
What about Lewis?
Lewis is also on the Watauga bandwagon.
They're going to love this.
Well, let me just tell you something. I've been wrong about Asheville before, but I'm not wrong this week. Asheville will stay within the 12.5. This is a close game. Going into the fourth quarter, it's probably tied.
Okay.
Who knows which way it's going to go, but this one is going to be close.
I love it.
Asheville's defense is going to keep them in it. They are athletic enough to score points against Watauga, and this is going to be a game that comes down to the wire.
What I'm hoping for is with that extra week and them being able to prepare for it, you talked about a couple big goal line stands against Asheville School.
Yeah.
And so what if their defense makes just enough plays to where – their offense does, you know, if Tay has a big game, it's what Pat said. If the quarterback's out there, if the quarterback's best player on the field whoever's on the field, I mean, that's a humongous advantage. And so, what an exciting game. So, yeah. Were you guys surprised that the spread was just 12.5?
Yes, but I think Asheville's good.
Asheville's solid, and they've played some very good teams.
Beating Asheville School really helped them. Asheville School is pretty highly ranked.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. When are they going to unleash Tay Williams? Because every time I look at his stat line, he's 8 of 9 or 8 of 10, no interceptions, 100 and something yards. When are they going to unleash him and let him open it up? Because I think he can.
Yeah.
I think he's proven he makes good decisions. I think he has some very good receivers to throw to. James, I mean, he's always open, number 0. Pat and I saw him in the scrimmage. Fantastic receiver. And they have good running backs that will open up that pass game. So I'm certainly, it's easy to coach from this table, but they may have to let him open it up this week, and I think that can keep him in the game.
And I certainly will be pulling for the Cougars.
I don't know. You picked against them.
I did. I picked against them.
I don't feel good about that.
So we'll see. Hopefully are my friendship still intact with all of them.
It's probably over.
Now we have one more game to talk about, gentlemen. This next week, the Rockets of AC Reynolds are taking on bye week, and Lewis would like to get his vote in for bye to beat AC Reynolds High School. So,
ooh, I should put that on the sheet.
I think whoever said it was right, they're definitely looking forward to the bye week.
Yeah.
And them, like Irwin, probably ready for conference play.
I mean, just who does Reynolds have coming off the bye?
Honestly, I have no idea. I don't know. But, you know, I do think that this is another good strategy that Coach Law has always applied, is these tough teams on the front end, and they're going to get this bye week, and they're going to come into conference play, and that's going to pay off for them.
So the Rockets open up conference play with Irwin and Asheville in the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
Followed by North Buncombe and Inca, and then traditional final game when McDowell's not in the conference, TC.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Reynolds just got to get healthy. They got to get more numbers out there. They've got to get healthy.
Yes. Agreed. Klepper was back. He played, you know, he had caught that,
yeah,
that 2-point conversion. So that was good to see. And he played in defense the week prior. I think he played on offense a little bit too. I don't remember.
Did you see if the quarterback that started the season for Reynolds, did he play any other positions?
I don't recall. Avery, I don't think Avery I didn't see. I have no idea.
Avery Hallifield. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what if he's still in the injured situation or what, but yeah. No.
I didn't know if they'd put him in a different position if they were going to go with Reimer just to help out, because I'd heard that Hallifield was athletic.
Well, Lewis is looking for big things out of bye week this week. So
bye week.
That was funny. Man. That was very unprompted, and I was not expecting it.
We miss Lewis here on Lewis Christmas.
It's not the same. Yeah. It's just not the same. I hope he's having a great trip. We love Lewis.
Merry Lewis Christmas.
Yeah, yep. Indeed. You're going to probably have to close the program out with another Christmas carol. Is that what we're going to do at the end? So, we have to come up with another fun question, right?
Well, you got one?
Well, we can talk a little bit. Lewis is on the Outer Banks right now, right? Yeah. So did you know that the Outer Banks is known as the graveyard of the Atlantic?
I did not.
Isn't that where Blackbeard crashed?
Yep. Blackbeard. Well, he was around Ocracoke Island, was one of his hideouts.
That's what it was. I saw that on the TV show.
Yeah.
Outer Banks.
If you look at the shore of the coast of Carolina, you notice it comes down into a point at Cape Hatteras.
Yeah.
Well, that's the Labrador Current coming down from the north, and it meets the Gulf Stream right there at Hatteras. And if you were literally I've been told if you were to get into an inner tube or a raft and jump in right there, you would wind up 2 weeks later in England.
So, really?
And probably dead. But you
that's, have you ever thought about doing that?
No, I haven't
he
thought about
need
doing
a,
that.
He doesn't need an inner tube or raft when you have a $100 million yacht.
That's true.
But there are more wrecks off that coast than any other place on the planet. And you still see a lot of them where the shipwrecks are, like, you know, what, 10 or 15 years ago, there was an old steamboat stack sticking out off the banks there. But all that silt and sand over the years gets dropped there and all those shoals, and before they ever lit the Outer Banks back in colonial times, man, so many ships ran aground there. And that's where one of the ironclad ships is sunk from the Civil War, which changed naval stuff. And then, of course, the U-boats from World War II, a couple of them are sunk there as well.
I don't know if you guys knew this. Pat knows a little bit about history.
Big history guy.
Yeah, I used to teach history long, long ago.
Pat, as a teacher.
I was part of history.
I used to teach PE.
I can see that as well.
Indeed.
Indeed.
All right, guys.
Well, we love you guys. Thank you
for
listening.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in.
Excited to get here and talk about next week about what we got right and what we got wrong.
Mm-hmm. I know I got them all right.
Yeah. I think we all know where I finished. Terribly. So thanks for listening, and tune in next time. Until then, we're out of here.